Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Peches. We are six lines from the top of the Amud, Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna. Getting back to the halacha mentioned in the Mishnah, if we have a balcony extending over a body of water, in order to draw water from that body of water, which is a karmelus, up to the balcony, which is a Rish Sayachid, almost construct a mechitza, 10 tfachim, high, around the opening on the balcony, so that those mechitzas appear as though they're extending downwards to the water, and allows you to draw water from the area beneath those mechitzas, which are not considered like a Rish Sayachid. You can draw from there up to the balcony, which is too a Rish Sayachid. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna Loi Shano, that allowance of creating this suspended mechitza was only said Ela Lamalis, to allow drawing water from the body of water down below up to the balcony. Aval Lishpoich Asa, but to spill wastewater through the opening of the balcony down to the river, that you can't do. Why? Let's see Rashi inside. Four lines from the top. It says Rashi Loi Shano Shemechitza Tli Materes. Big zuster of the Rabbanon. The Rabbanon only allowed this suspended mechitza on this balcony, Ela Lamalis, only to allow dry water. Aval Lishpoich, Shevchen, to spill wastewater, Benekev, through the opening, Lamayim, down to the river below, Asur. Yeah, you can't do. Why? Vipnei Shanor, Moilech HaShevchen. Because inevitably this river is going to drive the water out, Chutz L'mechitza Tagzustra, out, past the mechitza of this balcony. So inevitably, the water which is going to spill down is going to actually be driven out of these mechitzas and out into the karmelis. So though it's an indirect transfer from the shtiach to the karmelis, it's also. Says the Gemara, really? Maskefalo Rav Shezvi. Rav Shezvi asked the kasha, how can you say it's also? V'chima ben zeluka. Why would this be different than the case in the Mishnah, in the upcoming Mishnah, which tells us that a person may not pour his personal water into the chatzar unless there's an uka. So an uka is a pit, an in-ground pool, which was constructed for drainage purposes. So if you have this small size chatzar, you can't pour your personal water used for washing, for dishes, in the chatzar because it appears as though he's sending it out to the Rishus HaRabim. Although it's an indirect transfer, it's asur b'drabanan, for it might lead a person to actually transfer directly to Rishus HaRabim. So the only way you can do that is if you have an uka, this pit in your chatzar, which can theoretically contain the amount of water that a person uses per day, which the Gemara soon will estimate as 2 su'ah of water, which is the estimate average amount of water that a person, personal wastewater, used for washing, for dishes, is needed per day. So since you have that uka, then it sends that message. Look, you really want the water to stay in the chatzar, because this uka can contain the full amount of the person's daily usage. So in that case, you're allowed to pour in the chatzar, and it doesn't appear like you're sending it out to Shusaram. That's going to be in the Mishnah upcoming soon. Now, we learn as well that even if that uka happens to be filled with water to the brim, in which case when a person pours water into the chatzar, it's going to overflow in Shusaram, that's mutter. And the reason there is because since potentially it can contain a person's full daily amount of water, then it appears like it drained and it appears like he doesn't really want to send it out to Shusaram. So once that apparent factor is there, that's okay. Because again, the point is, only min ha-Torah, it's only asr to send directly to Shusaram. Mid Rabban, even indirectly, is asr, for it might lead a person to do it directly. But if he has no intent of doing so, look, he has a drain where he'd like his water to end up, although actually it's not ending up there, it's fine. Because as long as there's that indication, as that message is there, that will prevent a person from actually doing it directly to Shusaram. So that's the Mishnah down on the Amud here. Says Rav Shezvi, just as in that case, you can pour water into the chatzar, even though you know that the fact is the water is going to be driven out to Sarab, that's okay, as long as you have that Uka, which demonstrates that, look, the water is really not meant to go to Sarab. So even though, practically speaking, it's being driven by force, by the force of the pouring into Rishus Rab, that's okay. So why would it be usher in our case? Why do you say that you can't pour through the opening of the balcony down to the river? Because the force of the pouring will drive it out beyond the mechitzis. It's an indirect act. It's not what he has in mind. So therefore, it shouldn't even be usher midrabbanon. Again, says the Gemara, Maskefla Rashezvi Vichi Ma Bein Zel Uka. Why would this be Aser? Why would this be different than the Uka in the upcoming Mishnah, where although practically the water is being driven out, it's Mutter, because that's not what he has in mind. Says Gemara, Hani Taimi. In the case of the Uka, this drain is meant to contain the water. It's meant to be absorbed in that pit. So when he pours it there, that's what he has in mind. So although practically, it so happens that this time it's not happening, that's fine. As long as he has that indicator, he demonstrates that, look, I'm not trying to send it to Shusarabim. So that mitigates the concern. However, Vahani Leitaimi, in our case where there's no pit there to contain the water, when he pours it through the balcony, it's going directly into the river below and being driven by force out from beneath those mechitzes. In this case, he knows there's no chance, never a chance, of the water remaining within the confines of the mechitzes, as opposed to the case of the pit where many times it remains there. It gets absorbed there. So even though sometimes it doesn't, that's fine. That's not what he has in mind. But in our case, it's inevitable. When you pour into a river, it keeps on going. So it appears like you're just sending it out. And next time, you might actually send it directly to the Carmelis. Pour it directly into the Carmelis. So that's the difference. Hani taimi, in the case of the pit, it's meant to be absorbed. Hani taimi, in our case, it's not. And therefore, the Chacham made an Isser. They didn't allow it to be done, even indirectly, for concern that next time, a person might directly pour into the Carmelis. So according to this version, only drawing from beneath those mechitzas is mutter, but not pouring into the river. Ike de Amri Omar Rabba Baravot. There's another version of Rabba Baravot. Don't think only filling, drawing water from what's in the confines of the mechitzes up to the balcony is mutter. Lishpeich aser, but as pour as aser, because we're concerned about the water flowing into the river. Ela lishpeich namishari, even pouring is mutter. Why? Because he really has no intention of having the water flow into the river. For all he cares, it stays right there. This is in contrast to the chatzer, where Rashi explains he really would like the water to leave his chaser. He doesn't want a muddied courtyard. So in that case, we need to have an uka, which indicates that he has a place for the water to be absorbed, and he really, that's what he has in mind when he pours, that it gets absorbed in its place. So only by a chaser do we have that issue. But when it comes to a river, he really has no intent on having this water being driven out into the river. Therefore, even pouring water through the mechitzah is allowed, even though he knows inevitably it's going to be driven by force out into the Carmelis, that's okay. That's not what he had in mind. And it's not even us or midrabanan. Amrav Shezvi. So according to this approach, that pouring is mutter, Rav Shezvi responded, Pshita, of course. What's the chiddush? Hainu uka. Isn't this the exact case of the uka? Meaning, just as in that case, you're allowed to, because you have the indicator there, you have the drainage system, So that indicates that's not what his intent is. He doesn't care about the water going to Sarab, therefore it's mutter. So in our case as well, why would I think it's any different? Since his kavana is not to spill it out into the river, rather into the area directly below the mechitzes. So why would I differentiate? What's the chiddush here? So the Gemara, there is a chiddush. How the time? Perhaps I would think, hani taimi. In the case of the uka, since you have that physical container that you have, that pool, which is a drainage system where the water is meant to be absorbed, so that's a true indicator of a lack of intent to have his water flow into the Sarab, therefore it's mutter. Vahani like taimi, but in our case where there's nothing withholding the flow, he knows it's inevitable when you pour into the river, it's going to just keep on going into the Carmelis. Perhaps in this case, it would be also for concern that Although this case he has no intent, but perhaps next time he's going to pour directly into the karmelis. Kamash malon, the chiddush here is that there's no such concern, and the point is because he really has no intent on having this water flow into the karmelis. And once again, the point is that only direct pouring is usur. Is the isur mamish is only direct pouring. Indirect isur is only on account of concern that it might lead a person to pour directly. But if he really has no kavana, no machshava, no intent to transfer this water over to the karmelis or over to the seravim, in that case, there's no isur, even midrabana. So in short, drawing from beneath those mechitzes all agrees mutter, pouring water through the balcony down to the river below depends on the two versions. According to the first version, it is asur. According to the second, it is mutter. Continues the Gemara, v'chein shtek zustroyes zu l'malam zu. Mishnah described the case where he had two balconies extending over a river on different levels, one higher than the other. And the Mishnah told us that the upper balcony constructed a mechitza around there, drawing a hole around their opening, and the lower balcony actually makes use of the upper balcony. It tossed their pail up through their hole down to the river. What happens? Shtein asuris. They both can't use it because it's jointly used by two people. It needs to have an eruv. Amar apuna marav loishono. This is only a concern elabismucha. When they're close to each other, abmu flegis, but they're misaligned. So they're on two levels, right? But how aligned are they horizontally? If they're within four tefachim, then it's considered to be accessible to the lower balcony as well. But if it's misaligned, four tefachim or more, then the only way the fellow on the lower balcony accesses the upper balcony is by tossing his pail out, four tefachim via the airspace. That's not considered to be properly accessible, and he doesn't interfere, and he will not necessitate an eruv for the member of the upper balcony. Avo b'meflegas, if they're far apart, el yoinu muteris, the upper balcony has exclusive usage rights, does not need an eruv. For Rav Latame, Rav follows his shita elsewhere, Dama Rav. Rav said, ein adam oyser al chaver derech aver, if a person merely accesses his friend's property via airspace, it's not considered to be a proper use, and he does not interfere. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava, Amar Bchia. So Rabba said, name Rav Bchia. Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Yosef. And Rav Yosef said the same thing in name Rav Yosef, as follows. Yesh Gezel B'Shabbos. If a person happens to use his friend's property, it's unauthorized use. He's not meant to be using it. But let's say it's something where his friend doesn't really frequent that area. It's a collapsed home. It's a churva. So happens that this fellow makes use of that property. Perhaps it's improper, but he does it anyways. Yesh gezel b'shabbos. The fact that he has gezel, that he uses it as a gazlan. So on Shabbos, he's considered to be the primary user. So although he's not allowed to use it, really, it's not his. But pertaining to halachas of Shabbos, we consider this fellow as the primary user because it's not an area that his friend really uses. And he, the person who actually uses it, even though it's unauthorized use, he's considered to be the primary user, and no eruv is required. So that's the first portion of the sentence here. The second part of the halacha was, v'churva machzer labalim. A ruins, this type of place which is not really used by its rightful owner, machzer labalim, brings back to the owner, reverts back to its owner. Says, well, one second, hogof akasha, this statement inherently is difficult. First you say, Amris yesh gezel b'shabbos. The concept of a gezel is applied by Shabbos. Alma kanya, apparently a person who actually uses it, acquires possession of it, meaning he's considered to be the primary user and no eruv is required. So that's the first part of Yalacha. But then you said, v'churba machzer l'balam. The churba reverts back to the owner. Alma loy kanya, apparently the person who actually uses it illegally doesn't really acquire possession, it's not kanya. And we view it as though the rightful owner actually resides and uses this area. And this fellow who illegally is using this property can't use it without an eruv. So the statement here seems to be inherently a contradiction. Oh, Gomar, this is what he meant to say. yesh din gezel b'Shabbos. That the din of gezel, you're not allowed to use. You have to return it. That applies to Shabbos as well. Ketzad, meaning the churva machzel b'alim. The churva reverts back to the b'alim. Meaning, although you're using it entire week, it doesn't justify it. Doesn't make it your mukim dira. The rightful owner assumes control of it. It goes back, it reverts back to its owner, and you can't use it without an erev. Amar Rabba, umoy svinah shmaitin. Says Rabba, we actually have a kasha on our halacha from the Mishnah. V'chein shteig zuz trois, zu lamala mazu. So these two balconies, and the upper one has the opening with the machitza, through which the fellow on the lower balcony lowers his pail, and seems to be unauthorized use. Nevertheless, the Mishnah tells us, he interferes. That necessitates an Erev. Vi amris yesh din gezel b'Shabbos. Now, if you maintain that, the concept of gezel applies on Shabbos, meaning the fact that you're stealing, you're doing it without permission, it's not justified, it doesn't make it yours. You're not reckoned as the user here. If that's the case, am I a suris? So why are they asked to use the top area, meaning the fact that the fellow on the lower balcony actually makes unauthorized use of the upper fellow's mechitza, why would he interfere? He's not part of the equation. He's coming unlawfully. Amar Rav Sheshes, Hachamai Skinin. You know what we're speaking about? Kinesha also mechitza b'shutves. They actually contributed. They both contributed to building on this mechitza. So it's authorized access. The fellow from the lower balcony has allowance, has permission to use the upper balcony. That's why he interferes. If that's the case, why does the Mishnah say if they made a mechitza on the upper balcony, then they're both us? But if they would have made a mechitza on the lower balcony as well, then it would be okay. Why would it be okay if the fellow from the lower balcony actually has joint ownership of the upper balcony's mechitza? Then even if he has his own personal mechitza, but he still has access to the upper mechitza as well, why would no erev be required in this case? Says the Mer, no, keeping the also tachtoina, because once they made a mechitza for the bottom balcony, goli goli daite, they've demonstrated their intent. I don't want to use your mechitza. Why did I make my own personal mechitza down below? So although during the weekdays, apparently they would perhaps use the upper balcony for some reason. Look, they jointly constructed it. It belongs to both of them. But the fact that he went ahead and made his own mechitza down below, what is the member of the lower balcony saying to the other fellow? He's saying, look, I'm not going to use your mechitza on Shabbos. That's why I made my own mechitza, which is specific for Shabbos use, right? That indicates that I'm not having a part in your mechitza on Shabbos. And that explains why. In this case, where the fellow of the low balcony made his own mechitza, they've separated their Shabbos use from each other, and they can both use their respective mechitzas without interference, without a need for an Erev. So in summary, we have a case of the two gets destroyed, two balconies. The Mishnah tells us if they made a mechitza for the upper balcony, they're both also, because they both have access. Provided, says the Gemara, there are three elements here. Number one, they jointly constructed that upper mechitza. Otherwise, the fellow on the lower balcony has no real access there. We're speaking where the lower balcony had not constructed his own personal mechitza. Otherwise, he's considered to be separate, a separate user. And as well, Rav tells us that that's only when it's within four tefachim. They're aligned horizontally within four tefachim to each other, but otherwise, the lower balcony wouldn't interfere, since his access to the upper balcony is only derech aveh via airspace, which is not considered to be proper access. Continues the Mishnah. So now we're going to see that halacha that we mentioned earlier regarding the allowance to pour wastewater in the chatzar when it has the uka, this in-ground pool, this drain, to contain a person's wastewater. Chatzar shipchus marba amis. If we have this small size chatzar, less than 4 amis in size, ein shoifchin b'soichem mayim b'shabbos. One may not pour water into this chatzar on Shabbos, because since it's so small in size, it appears like it's being poured straight into Rishus HaRabim, and this might lead a person to actually pour directly into Rishus HaRabim, which is a melacha, and a Torah. So you can't do so. Ella imkein asala uka. Unless you constructed this in-ground drain, machzekes asayim, which can contain 2 sa volume of liquid, from the intake point of this pool down to the bottom, meaning it has to actually contain 2 sa of water. Where are you going to construct it? Ben bachutz, whether right outside the boundary of the chatzer, adjacent to the chatzer, ben bifnim, whether actually inside the chatzer. Ella shem bachutz tzorach likmur. If you construct it right outside, then you have to actually cover it, because it's in Mishas Ram. So if it's covered, then it's a makam tur, which would allow the water to fall into it until makam tur. Mibifnim, but if it's in the chatzer, ain't tzorach likmur. In that case, you don't have to cover it. There's no need to cover it. So this is the first halacha of the Mishnah. If it's a small size chatzer, what's considered to be a small size chatzer, less than 4 amos, then we require an uka to allow pouring wastewater into the chatzer. How large is the uka? It has to potentially contain 2 sa. It could be either inside the chatzer or right outside. And the point is to send that message, to provide that indicator that we're not pouring outside, we're pouring into the drain. This will prevent a person from mistakenly pouring straight into Jerusalem. Continues the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Biv. If we have this pipe, this trench, running from the chatzer to Jerusalem. So this drainage pipe, Shukamar Arba Amas Jerusalem, which is partially covered, the first section of that pipe. So the pipe is going from the chatzer into the Jerusalem. So the first section of that pipe, which begins right at the Rosh Hashanah, is covered. The first 4 amma section is covered, which makes it into a makam p'tur, which allows you to pour into that drain. Sheifchem l'soichay ma'am b'shamas. One is allowed to pour water directly into this pipe, because 4 amma is enough space to allow a person's personal water, the personal usage, daily water usage, to be absorbed properly before it gets into the Sarabim. 4 amos is enough space for that. So the fact that he's pouring directly into the drain is irrelevant, because he has enough room there to get absorbed before it gets into the Sarabim. So it doesn't appear at all like he's pouring something into the Sarabim. That's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Shita. The Chacham Oirim, they say like this, Afilu gag oichotzer me'am, even if this trench, this pipe, begins way back inside this huge chatzer, 100 amas in size, a chatzer or a rooftop, which is 100 amas in size, and has a trench running through it, one should never pour directly into the opening of the trench. You know why? Because it appears like he's actually pouring into the shisrab. So this could lead a person to pour directly into the shisrab. So directly into the pipe, don't pour. Indirectly, you can. You can pour onto the roof and allow the water to trickle into the pipe. So regarding a trench, this drainage pipe, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, as long as there's a sufficient surface there, which allows for absorption of a person's typical water usage per day, which is 2 sa, the Gemara is going to say, then you can go pour even into the trench. And as he said, we're speaking that the first portion of the pipe, which is in Rosh Hashanah, is covered, so it's a makam tur, as long as there's enough space there for the water to get absorbed before it reaches the open air of Rosh Hashanah, then you're okay. According to the Chachamim, not even in this case, can't you? But even if it begins way back in the chatzar, on the roof, you can never pour directly into this pipe, because it appears like it's going straight into Rosh Hashanah, and this may lead a person to mistakenly pour into Rosh Hashanah directly. Rather, pour it on the roof or on the chatzer and have it trickle into this pipe. Concludes the Mishnah. Hachoser v'achsadra mitztarfen l'arba amos. So we spoke about the chatzer, which is smaller in size than 4 amos, which requires the uka. But if the chatzer is 4 amos in size, then it's okay, because that's enough space to allow the water to be absorbed. Now let's say the chatzer itself is not 4 amos, but it has an achsadra, this terrace, this roof, outdoor roofed area, which is adjacent to the chatzah. So the Chatzah and the Chasadah together can combine to create the four Amma user area, which removes the need for the Uka. That's enough space to have the water absorbed before it reaches the Shusaram. Likewise, if you have two balconies leaning over the Chatzar, so you have upper floors and they have balconies, you have one balcony leading over the Chatzar, and opposite that, another balcony. And this Chatzar is small in size, less than 4 amas. And what happened? Miktsasan asu'uka. Members of this house made a pit near their house to allow spilling out their wastewater. However, the members on the other side did not construct this in ground pool. So what is Allah? Esha asu uka mutar. The fellows that made their uka can pour. Esha lay asu uka asur, and the other members cannot. The Gemara will explain the details of this Allah. In any case, let's go back to the beginning of the Mishnah. That if it's a small size chatzar, less than 4 amas, one may not pour water into the chatzar unless he has the uka. Apparently, if the chatzar is 4 amas in size, that allows for pouring. My time, why? Amar Rabba, he explains the background of the halacha. V'pnei adam asoy liestapik sosayim mayim kol yom. Chacham estimated that on average a person is slated to use two sa of personal wastewater. Rabbi Yenison says for personal washing, for washing dishes. So that's been established by Chachamim as the standard set quantity, average per person per day. So as a result of that, we determined that the size of the chatzah needs to be 4 amis to allow pouring water into the chatzah. Ba'arba amis, if the chatzah is 4 amis in size, adam roitzel lazalfan, a person really wants to use that water, which he's pouring the chatzah for the sake of the chatzah. Lazalfan, he wants to spray it to keep the dust down, we're speaking about in the summer. So he'd like to keep the dirt, the dust, the sand down. And he prefers actually that the water remains in the chatzah and not be transported into Shusarabim. So in this case, there's no room for concern. That would appear like he's spilling into Shusarabim, because he actually wants it to stay here. He prefers that it remains in place. Let's see Rashi inside. 2 lines from the bottom. Gemara. My time. What is the reason? Achotze p'chusama ba'amis koi. Less than 4 amis is aser. The mashma ha'ar ba'amis shari. So the Gemara's question is referring to the limitation. Less than 4 amis, you can't pour. Apparently, if it's 4 amis, then it's okay. Why? The answer is because when the chatzar is 4 amis in size, adam roitzel zalfan. He wants to use the water for zilof purposes, to keep the dust down. Sheru'uyi lezalif. Because this size chatzar is suitable for zilof. Laharbitz afora, shloyale avoka. He wants to keep the dirt, he wants to keep the dust down. The Gemara later will establish that our Mishnah is speaking about the summertime. The Chivin the Reitzel is often, since he wants to use the water for spraying purposes to keep the dust down. Inami shafachlu finafki. Even if it ends up pouring and going out to Shusarabim, like Miskayim Machshavte, his intent, his kavana was not accomplished, not fulfilled. So since he really prefers that it remains here, even if it so happens that as a result of his pouring, the water actually ends up in Shusarabim, that's okay. Because let's remember, we're not speaking about Issa Daraisa. The Issa Daraisa is to pour directly. When he pours here and it actually flows out, that's only Midrabanan. We're concerned that this might actually bring a person to pour directly. But that's only when he wants this to happen. But if it's B'loi Kavana, it's not fulfilling his intent, his Machshava. It's not what he's trying to do. Then the Chachamim, in this case, did not apply any Yisr. So if this Chatzar is large enough in size, which can absorb those two Sa, which is deemed as a person's average, the daily usage of wastewater, then we allow him to pour it into the Chatzar because we assume that he wants it to remain here, and there's no Maisa of pouring in the Shusarab. Says the Gemara Pachas Medalit. But if it's less than 4 amas in size, shayfchan, then he's merely pouring it into the Shusarab. So then, either of it uka, shari, if he made this drain, he made this in-ground pool, which is 2 sa in size, then he can pour it, because once again, it appears like he's just pouring it into the drain without any intent of proceeding into just a rabbin. Ilo yasa, but without an uka, it's asa. Let's see Rashi inside on the top line. Pachas midald, ein aru lezalef. It's not suitable for zilof. V'shayfchan. And then he's merely like pouring it into just a rabbin. V'chi nafki. And if it actually goes out there, mikayim machshavta. He is fulfilled. His kavan has been fulfilled. What's wrong with that? V'gaz rabban ole. Rabban made a gzera. Dilma asal mishri, zirka behed yush is rabban. If we allow this, and perhaps it will lead a person to actually directly pour something from Rishis Yochid to Rishis Ram, which is an Issa Torah. So it's only allowed when there's no intent, such as in the case where it's a large enough chatzar, summertime, he wants to keep the water in the chatzar, or in a case where there's an ukah, which also serves as an indication of his true intent, that he really wants his water to be absorbed in this drain and not to proceed further into Rishis Ram. Continues the Gemara in the second line. Rav Zera Amar, he gives a different reason for the heter of pouring into a chatzar that is 4 amos in size. Dalad amos, taimi. If you have a large enough area of 4 amos, then the water will be absorbed there. It's a big enough area that has the potential to absorb the share of a person's personal daily water. Pachas midalad amos like taimi. But if it's smaller in size than 4 amos, it's not enough area to properly absorb his water. So in that case, when he pours it, it's inevitably going to be poured into Shisarab. So the Zigzer, if you allow this, perhaps he's going to pour directly into Shisarab. My Binayu, is there any difference between Rav Zera's approach of water absorption and Rabba's approach of Zilof? Says the Gemara, Omar Abayi, Orach V'Katan Yikin Binayu. The difference will be, let's say we have a chatzar which is long and narrow. So it actually has a surface area of 4 amos by 4 amos, but it's not square, it's a rectangle. It's 2 amos by 8. So according to Rav Zera, that it's the water absorption that allows, then it's irrelevant what kind of configuration this chatzar has. As long as it has an adequate surface area to absorb, then it doesn't appear like he's standing in Shisha Rab. Whereas according to Rabba, Zilof, keeping the dust down, the Mefarshim will explain, only applies to a properly configured chatzar, which is suitable for convenient and respectable use. Shimush Kavod. You need to have at least a square 4x4. If it's long and narrow, it's not suitable for this respectable type of use. And in that case, he really has no point, no use to keep the dust down, and the Zilof factor won't apply. So according to Rabba, it needs to be square 4x4. According to Rav Zera, in any configuration, it's okay because it has the potential to absorb a person's daily water usage. Continues the Gemara, Tnan, so we learned in our mission, Chatzar v'achsadra mitzdar from Dal Damis. If we have a small size chatzar, joined by an achsadra, we'll assume that the achsadra isn't really exactly parallel to the chatzar, it's off to the side, to the corner, in which case, Mishnah tells us, mitzdar from Dal Damis. They can both combine to arrive at that total of 4 amos, even though we're not speaking about a square. Bishlem l'Rav Zera nicha. It's according to Rav Zera, that water absorption is the reason, then it's fine, because even if it's not square, it still can absorb the same amount of water. El Rabba Kasha, according to Rabba, who requires a square, how is he going to explain this Mishnah? Tergum Rav Zera, I'll leave it to Rabba. So Rav Zera interpreted this Mishnah, and according to the Rabba, was speaking where it's a square. Achsadra maleches. This achsadra is actually perfectly parallel to the chatzar, and both together form a 4x4 amma square. Toshma, we have a braisa which says, chatzar she'imba dalad amis al dalad amis. A chatzar which is not 4 amis by 4 amis square, and she'ifchen l'seichemayim b'shabbos. Or may not pour water into it on Shabbos. Bishleim el rabba nicha. This works well according to Rabba, who requires a square. El rab zera kasha. However, according to Rab zera, who's not concerned about shape or configuration, how do you understand this braisa, which seems to require a square? Amalech Rav Zera, Hamani Rabbanani. Says Rav Zera, this braisa follows Rabbanon. Rabbanon? Of course, they're based on the Zilof reason. Umasis and Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. However, the Mishnah, which I was coming to interpret, was following Lezer ben Yaakov's shita. What does he mean? We had a discussion in our Mishnah regarding pouring into a biv, into this trench, into this drainage pipe. According to the Rabbanon, they didn't allow pouring directly into the pipe. Apparently, Rabbanon's reason for allowance was based on ziluf, because the intent is to keep the dust down. That only applies to the chatzar. When you're pouring water into a trench, there's no intent for ziluf. There's no dust to be kept down in the trench. So that's why you can't pour in a trench, even though there's enough space there to have the water be absorbed. They don't allow it. Apparently, it says Rav Zera, the Rabbanon are working with the concept of ziluf. I agree with that. And therefore, this brisa, which speaks about a square chatzar, is following their sheet. Ziluf requires a square usage area. No discussion regarding the Rabbanon. They're working with ziluf. I was referring to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who allows pouring even directly into a trench. Why? Apparently he's not working with ziluf. He's working with water absorption potential. Therefore he allows pouring into the trench that has that absorption potential before reaching the Shusar Rabbah. So according to him, when it comes to pouring into a chatzar, as long as the chatzar area is 4 amos by 4 amos in total, whether square or rectangle, it's irrelevant. You can pour. Let's see Rashi inside. Right off to the left, Homani Rabbanonhi. Rabbanon hold ziluf is the requirement, is the factor. They don't allow due to water absorption, because it's not masnissen. They clearly said, even if you have this long, huge trench running through your chatzar, you can't pour directly into the biv, el al gag, el al chatzar. You have to do it indirectly. Pour it on the roof, and the chatzar, and have it trickle onto the pipe. Why? Alma time into dumishim zilof. Apparently, the reason for their allowance is because of zilof. Vigabi piv, however, when it comes to this trench, megali died to the goshafich. It's pretty clear that he's just trying to get rid of the water. You don't do ziluf in a trench. So according to them, of course, ziluf is the factor, and the chatzah needs to be square, in accordance with this price. However, the ratio de masnisen, the initial part of the Mishnah, which I'm coming to explain, is a blazer of Yaakovi. He's working with absorption. Because it's not bivshu kamer dal damas. Just as when it comes to that trench, he allows to pour into the trench because it has absorption capability. So his reason is because of absorption. So how large does the chatzar need to be to allow pouring in the chatzar? 4 amos. But it doesn't have to be 4 amos by 4 amos square. Even if it's not suitable for zeal, that's okay, as long as it has the ability to potentially absorb a person's personal daily water usage amount, that's okay. Continues the Gemara. But what compelled Rav Zera l'ukma masnisen k'lezer ben Yaakov? What forced him to interpret our Mishnah in accordance with Lezer ben Yaakov's Shita? Since he agrees that according to the Rabbanon, ziluf is the allowing factor, and a square chatzah is required, so why did he insist on interpreting our Mishnah in accordance with Lezer ben Yaakov, that it's water absorption that allows, and then even if it's a rectangle chatzah, it's okay? Why did he prefer Lezer ben Yaakov over the Rabbanon? Amarava Masnisen Kashise, because the wording of the Mishnah appeared difficult to Rav Zera if he would have learned otherwise. My area Ditani Chatzar Shipchusa. Why did the Mishnah use the words Chatzar Shipchusa Bdal Damas? It's less, it's smaller in size, which appears to be referring to the total area of the Chatzar. Listen, Chatzar Shem Bdal Damas Al Dal Damas. Why didn't the Mishnah be more, why wasn't the Mishnah more specific? The Chatzar is less than 4x4 square. Then you can't pour without the ukkah. Apparently, square is not required. El lav shema mino. Apparently, we're following Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Lav shema mino. Apparently, the Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov shema mino. It's pretty clear that the Mishnah here is following Rebbe Elazar shita, who speaks about water absorption capabilities. In which case, you don't need to have a square chatzar. Even a rectangular chatzar is okay, as long as it has a proper surface area. Says the Gemara, v'hamid the sefer b'lezer ben Yaakov. But since the next part of the Mishnah, speaking about the allowance to pour into the biv, is b'lezer ben Yaakov, doesn't that indicate that reisha lav b'lezer ben Yaakov, that the first part of the Mishnah is not his shita? Says the Gemara, no, kula b'lezer ben Yaakov, the entire Mishnah, from the beginning all the way to the middle, is actually the same shita of Elazar and Yaakov. And the Mishnah is meant to be learned as though it's missing some words, and learned as follows. Mishnah begins, Chatzar shepchusu medal damis. If the chatzar is smaller in size than 4 amis, and sheifchen l'seichamayim b'shabbos, one may not pour water into it on Shabbos. Ha dal damis sheifchen. But if it has the proper size, 4 amis in size, you can pour, even if it's not square, because water absorption is at play here. Sher Blazer ben Yaakov Omer. Just like Blazer ben Yaakov says, Biv hakomer, this trench which is partially covered, dal damis b'shus rabim, the first form of section running under Rishus Rabim is covered, which allows for water absorption prior to actually exiting into Rishus Rabim. That's okay. Shayfchen l'seichem, Rambam Shabbos. One could even pour into the biv water, because water absorption is what determines. So from the beginning of the Mishnah all the way to the middle is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Shita. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, biv hakomer. That's the Shita. Whereas the Chacham hold, no, zilof is at play. So pouring directly into a trench cannot be interpreted as ziluf, therefore that's not allowed. So pour it on the chatzar and have it trickle into the biv. Pour it on the rooftop and have it trickle to the biv. Says the Masnisin, look at Chananya. A Mishnah which allows pouring on a rooftop is inconsistent with Chananya. The Sane Chananya Omer, afilu gag me'ama. Even if you have a large size roof, 100 amas in size, lo yishpeich, one shouldn't pour on the rooftop. Why? Lefishein agag osi levloya. El kaleach. A rooftop is meant to repel water. It's not meant to absorb. The kaleach is meant to have the water roll off. It's waterproof. It's not meant to stay there. So, even when you're pouring it on the roof and having trickle into the trench, it appears like you're pouring straight into the trench, which takes it straight to Rishus Rabim. Therefore, according to Chananya, just as you can't pour it straight into the trench, don't pour it on the roof either. The only thing you can do is pour it on the chatzar and then have it trickle into the trench. So, in summary, we learned that a person may pour water into a chatzar, which is 4 amis in size, or into a biv, this trench, which has 4 amis of space before it reaches Rishus Rabim. Now, according to Elazar ben Yaakov, it's based on water absorption. So even if this chatzar is long and narrow, it's okay. And likewise, you can pour directly into that trench. According to Chachamim, it's based on ziluf, the fact that he prefers keeping the water in the chatzar to keep the dust down. That only applies to a chatzar which is square, which is suitable for shimush kavod, and he's particular about the dust. So it has to be at least 4x4 amis in square. They don't allow pouring directly into the trench, which doesn't have this ziluf element. Rather, pour it on the roof or on the chatzar and have it trickle down into the bar, into the biv. According to Chananya, you can only pour it on the chatzar, but not on the rooftop, which is meant to repel water. And it appears like it's going directly into the trench, which would be problematic. Continues the Gemara. Tana, we're going to the Brice. Getting back to the requirement to have an uka, this drainage pool in the chatzar. But medva mamurim, when is it said? Bimoisachama, only during summertime. Aval bimoisachama, during wintertime, there's no need to have an uka. Shoifech, veshoine, you can pour and pour. Veine nimna, doesn't have to withhold. My time of why? Omarav, Adam roitze shibolu maimim kaiman. During wintertime, he wants the water to remain in place, meaning he has no need for the water to leave his chatzar. In any case, his chatzar is dirty and muddied, so he's not really involved in bringing the water to Rishus Rabim. This won't lead him to pour it directly either. Amar Abaye. So Abaye said, well, in the absence of this personal preference, it's mutter. Varei Shoifchen. What about the case where a person pours the wastewater into the biv, into this trench? There as well, what is his personal intent? The Adam Reutze, Shivo, he wants them to be absorbed in their place, meaning he has no intent to spill this water, pour it into Rishus Rabim. It's a trench, it's meant to hold the water, to absorb water. So he doesn't care about getting it muddied. So there as well, personal intent is absent. Uktani lo yishpech. And still the Rabbanon say, don't pour into that trench directly. So apparently even when this personal intent is absent, it's still Asr. Amalei Sarabah responded, this is the difference. Hasam over there during wintertime, Lamai Nechashla, what should be our concern? Look, there were really two elements. This personal intent and then this public appearance. Both are non-existent during wintertime. Why? Imishub Kilku Chatzere, whether it's because he's concerned about ruining his chatzer, making it muddied, and he wants the water to get out. Personal intent. That doesn't exist. Homekalkel of a kaima. During wintertime, his chatzar is ruined, is muddied. So there's no really personal intent. There's no kavana to get the water out. So that factor is not present. V'imishum gzeira. Or perhaps the concern about public appearance. Gzeira shema yoimru. Perhaps people will see the water coming out of his chatzar. They'll say, yoimru tzinu shel pleni mekalech mayim. Look, this person's trench is flowing water, shooting water into shesarabim. This may lead to concern of confusion. People will say, well, you can pour something directly into shesarabim as well. So regarding public appearance, that also is non-existent during wintertime. Why? Stamtzi neris mekalchem him. Your typical pipe is flowing with water during wintertime due to the rains. So when they see this pipe flowing water during wintertime, they won't attribute it to him. They'll say it's rainwater. Therefore, Rava says, during wintertime, there's no concern whatsoever. Not on account of public appearance, not on account of his personal intent. So since nobody's involved, and it doesn't even appear like anybody's involved, in transferring water to Shesarabim, there's no concern that due to this indirect pouring, somebody may come to pour directly. Therefore, there's no concern, there's no need for an uka whatsoever. Rav Nachman disagrees. He holds that winter, yeah, it mitigates somewhat, but not completely. Even during wintertime, an uka is required. Omar of Nachman, in Maisak Shaman, during wintertime, you need an uka. As follows, uka machzik sosayim. If you have a properly sized uka, which can contain two sa, which is your typical, the typical water usage capacity per day, nicely sosayim, then you can go ahead and use it unlimited. Tesis points out that the sign doesn't mean specifically to so, it's just a way of saying he can go and use it for whatever he needs, because it's a properly sized containment. Machzik so, however, if it's just small in size, can only contain a so, nicely so. In this case, we allow him to use it, but he has to limit his use to a so within the containment capacity of this pool. That's during winter time. However, where there's more concern, as we mentioned earlier, then machzik sosayim, nosmoy sosayim. If it can contain two sa, which is a properly sized pool, then it can use it unlimited. Sa, however, if it's only small in size, it can only contain a sa, a nosmoy kolikar, then he can't use it at all. So I don't know why. Moysa chamanami, even during summertime, machzik sa, nesle sa. If it contains a sa, let him use a sa. Gzeira dilma asi litmoy sosayim. It's a concern, perhaps, this will lead him to use it even for an amount which is greater than so. He'll use it for two so. So therefore, during summertime, if it's not properly sized, don't use it at all. Says the Yehoch, if that's the case, during wintertime, there too, let's apply this gzera. Why over there, even when it's small in size, you allow him to use it? Says the Yehoch, during wintertime, what's the concern? Is it because he intends, he wants the water to leave his chatzar for concern that it might muddy his chatzar. So he's involved in transferring to Shesarabim. I'm a kalkal of a kaima. During wintertime, his chatzar in any case is muddied. So he's not involved in transferring water out of his chatzar. So personal interest is non-existent. Irishim gzeir is it perhaps due to public appearance or concern shema yomru tzinoyre shaplenim kalech mayim. The people will say, look, this person's chatzar, this person's trench is flowing with water into Shesarabim. Well, during wintertime, your typical drain is pouring water. It's rainwater, so there's no concern during wintertime. However, as Rashi points out, we still prefer that you stick to the capacity of the pool. So if it's two saw in size, then you're okay. But if it's smaller than that, the chatchila, you should only use a saw worth within the capacity of this pool. But to be concerned that if you allow that, perhaps he's going to use more, at worst case he will. And it's not so terrible, because those concerns that apply during summertime, where it appears like he's trying to transfer to Shesarabim, really don't exist during wintertime. So we don't make the gzera. We don't say, well, you can't even use a small size pool within its capacity for concern that you might use more, because even if you do use more, there's no real concern. However, during summertime, where a person is particular about the cleanliness of his chatzar, and he perhaps wants the water to get out, number one. Number two, people see water coming out, they'll misinterpret it as an allowance to transfer directly to Shesarabim. In that case, you can only use the chatzar if you have a properly sized ukkah. Two saw in size, because any smaller than that, we're concerned that he might overuse it and flow into Shusharam. That's Rav Nachman's shita. Amar Abaye. Says Abaye, Hilkach, if that's the case during winter time, there is no concerns. Afilu kur, afilu kuraim, you can pour as much as you want, a kur, two kur of water in your chatzar, even if there's no ukkah present at all. That's Abaye's shita, that you don't need an ukkah during winter time. So in summary, one is only allowed to pour water into a small sized chatzar during summertime if it contains this pit that can hold two saw of water, which is a person's personal daily usage amount of wastewater. During winter time, where a person really doesn't care about the water remaining in his chatzar, which is dirtied and muddied in any case. Number one. Number two, there's no public appearance concern because water is flowing out in any case. So in this case, we are more makel. Rav Nachman says that if the pit, which is required even during summer, during winter time, is two saw size, then you can use it for an unlimited amount. When it's merely a saw size, then you're limited to a saw of usage, according to Abaye. Due to the fact that those above mentioned concerns don't apply to during winter time, then no ukkah is required whatsoever. Continues the Gemara. So the Mishnah told us if we have balconies which protrude over a chatzar, a small size chatzar, the members of one balcony made an ukkah on their side of the chatzar, but the other fellows did not. The Mishnah tells us the ones who made the ukkah can pour into the chatzar, but the other ones can't. Amar Rava, afilu irvo. This is referring to even a case where they made an erev amongst themselves. They can't both use the ukkah. Amar li Abaye. So Abaye responded, my time, what's wrong? Ilema mishum nefisha demaya. Is it because of the overabundance of water? Too many people using the same pit, which is merely two saw in size? But that's not a concern. Va'atani, we learned in a price. Achas li ukkah, whether we're speaking about a pit, v'achas li gistra, or broken klicheres, used as a container for wastewater. Brecha, a small sized pool, v'areva, this large sized bowl. Afa pishnis, smalo maya merev Shabbos. Even if they were actually filled with water from before Shabbos, you can still use it. Shoifchen le soichen mayim b'Shabbos. You can continue pouring water into them on Shabbos because as long as it has that containment capacity, it can hold a person's personal daily water usage. So even though now it's filled, you're still pouring into a drain. It doesn't appear like you're pouring into a sarabim. Actually, the Mishnah adds that most times, these things are presumed to be available for absorption. So it doesn't appear like you're pouring into a sarabim. It sends that message. It gives that appearance like you're pouring into a drain, not into a sarabim. So in this case where we only have one ukkah for members of both balconies, why can't they both use it if they made an erev? Ele itma hachi itma. If we learned Rava's statement, it was as follows. Amar Rava. Lo yishanu ele shelo yirvu. The halacha in the Mishnah doesn't allow use of this pit by the members of the balcony who hadn't formed a pit. That's only when there was no erev. Aval irvu matar. But if they made an erev, then they can use it freely. They can pour water into this chatzar without any concern. Says Gemara b'chloy irvu my time loy. But if there was no erev, why can't they use it? Tosfos explains that even in absence of an erev chatzeres, one can pour indirectly. For instance, they can pour onto their balcony and have it trickle down to the joint chatzit. Because the chachamim were not so machmer as to prohibit indirect use when it comes to a place that doesn't have an erev. So what's wrong with them pouring onto their balcony, have it trickle down to the chatzar? Amar Rav Ashi. Certainly indirect usage is allowed. That's why the balcony right near the pit can pour to it indirectly. But the balcony situated on the other side of the chatzar at a distance from that pit can't even use it indirectly. Why? Gzeirah is a concern. Dilma perhaps, asila fuki. They might come carry out. Mimani debatim lahasam. Some of their household kelim out of the chatzar over to the pit on the other side. Rather than pour their water on their balcony and have it drip down to the chatzar below, which will get it all dirty, they'll prefer perhaps to manually transport their wastewater using their household kelim down to the chatzar over to the pit on the other side, which they can't do because no erev. That's why you don't allow them access that pit whatsoever. Hadron loch ketzav mishtatv. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We learned that a person can draw water from a river up to the balcony, which has a machitza. Can he pour back into the river and have it flow out? There's a machlokes. Those two balconies, upper and lower, which were situated within four tefachim horizontally of each other, and they both constructed the machitza for the upper balcony, and there was no machitza for the low balcony, they can't use the upper balcony without an Erev. When we pour water in a chatzar, which is 4 amas in size, onto this biv, this trench, which is 4 amas long, according to Lezer and Yaakov, because of the ability to absorb one day's worth of water. Therefore, even if the chatzar is long and narrow, it's okay, and you can pour directly into that trench. According to Chachamim, it's because it appears like he's trying to merely settle the dust down. In that case, the chatzar needs to be at least 4 amas by 4 amas square. Don't pour directly into the trench, rather on the rooftop, or in the chatzar and have it trickle down. According to Hananya, you can't pour it on the rooftop because it appears like it's being deflected directly into the trench. How large is this uka, this drainage pit, meant to be? All agree during summertime, it needs to have 2 cell capacity. During winter, where it doesn't appear like he's trying to send his water out of his chatzar, there are some leniencies applied. According to Rav Nachman, even if it's smaller in size, you can use it up to capacity. According to Abaye, during wintertime, there's no need whatsoever to make this ukah.